I'm Rick James, bitch.
Welcome to episode 67 of the Rick James Sportscast. Massive amounts of planning have gone into this one. It's just massive amounts. Days and days.
We forgot it was Wednesday, and then we remembered it was Wednesday, and then I had work, and then I finished work, and then it was like, we have a podcast to do, and now we're here.
Yeah, basically.
This is the podcast.
Yeah, so clearly nothing has gotten under our skin enough to whinge about. So we'll hop straight into
the first topic.
The first topic, which is the racism.
The racism. The big scandal of today, I guess.
Scandal, as Ask Bob would say.
It's been around for the last couple of weeks, and they've finally made a decision, the FA, on Suarez.
Mm-hmm.
And his
41 matches for
his little abuse of Patrice Evra of Manchester United in their clash earlier this year. About a month or two ago.
Yeah, so he gets 8 matches, which in this Christmas period works out to about 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
So he'll be back by 2012.
And he'll get his, I think it's customary $300 fine.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it's a huge fine for those footballers. He'll probably have to get 3 weeks' wages and not feed his family for that long. He's a little rabbit people. But it's not the first time I've seen Suarez in the limelight for wrong reasons.
It's true.
His infamous handball at the World Cup to stop Ghana's progression, which eventually led to the Uruguayans progressing through.
Correct.
He's also been known to use his beaver teeth to bite people at Ajax, and I think there might have been a case at Liverpool, but he does bite people. So not only is he a cheater and a biter, he's now a racist.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's a good list of accomplishments to have on your CV.
Especially when you haven't won anything yet at Liverpool.
Yeah,
yet,
that's true.
Yet you're $20 million player along with Andy Carroll?
Well,
Carroll's another $15 million, but they're the two guys that are meant to bring out this new Liverpool side into 2012 and be the glorious new walk-alone team and whatever. But it got me thinking with the whole racism thing. Is it something that is in other games? Because racism is a big issue in the world of football.
Mm-hmm.
We hear it all the time with a lot of black players, let's be honest. I can't say African-American because, well, they're Africans, not African-American. So, you know, it was a big issue when Eto'o was at Barcelona. He copped the monkey chants and be fed bananas by the crowd.
Yeah.
I don't know how they afforded them back then because they were $3 per banana and these guys were Spaniards. But it is a big issue, and I was wondering, do you think it's something that's in other sports or is it just a big thing in the world of football?
You said you're going to mention John Terry as well.
Yes, John Terry also is another case that's going on at the moment. I think he called Ferdinand the N-word. Anton Ferdinand, not the good one. Yes, the N-word, I will not say it. The hard R gets me. It's just aggressive.
And we're going to turn into episode of South Park with Randy and Wheel of Fortune.
Nagger.
Nag. it's in the league, like the EPL. There's more of a chance of that happening just because you've got so many different nationalities.
Yeah, it's definitely, you hear it, and there are like a billion, I think it's 1,003,000 nations represented in the EPL alone.
Yeah.
I think that's at Arsenal alone.
Okay, yeah.
And then another 200,000 through the rest of the Premier League. And that's all the nations in one, so eventually you are going to hear a white man call a black man a nagger.
But, I mean, even though, I guess, people say, oh, it's been like that this way for a long time, there's been different players from different countries all in the melting pot together.
Yeah.
I mean, it only takes, it's only one person that's been, brought up the wrong way is probably not the best way to describe it.
Well, when it's someone like John Terry, can you say he hasn't been brought up the wrong way? He sleeps with players' wives, he calls people names, he's John Terry. I don't know if his upbringing was good or whether he's just
John Terry.
Yeah, just John Terry.
That's the thing, I mean, for one, there's so many players as well.
Yeah.
Just so many players that you see one player with different values to the rest of them and doesn't recognise the importance of, you know, what happens when you with racist quotes.
Well, I think the whole issue with Suarez, it's an interesting thing, and it's brought out a lot of other storylines and whatnot. Yes, storylines. Mm. It is a big fantasy world. But Suarez, you know, may or may not have said these things. It's Evra's evidence against his pretty much, and the FA have gone with Evra. And it was interesting to hear Balotelli come out almost immediately in support of Suarez and saying that when they versed United earlier in the year, all the United players should get name match banned because he was racially abused the whole match from every single United player. And to be honest, it doesn't surprise me. Like, does it surprise anyone? It happens, I think. It seems to be something that's common in the Premiership now.
Yeah.
With certain players, they do cop a lot of stick because of, I don't know, the way they are, the way they act and stuff. And I think Balotelli is an easy target because of his actions off the field. But it was interesting to hear what he said in defence of Suarez and whatnot. And then you look at Evra's record. He isn't exactly the most noble of players. He did come out once after an Arsenal game and said that he would stab Cesc Fabregas if he saw him on the street. That is what he said. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure that's exactly what he said too. So can you really trust a man who says stuff like that other cases?
I guess it's interesting, I mean, even though Suarez isn't English, I mean, a lot of the other racism accusations have been against Englishmen.
Against Englishmen,
and it reminds me of listening to the Media Blazers podcast and how sort of the English perceive themselves, and the two hosts of the podcast were talking about how, you know, the English see themselves as English and the rest of Europe as a separate entity.
I get that part. I do get that part.
Like, it's like, we are England. Not that it's necessarily a bad thing, but then I think it sort of plays into this, is that because they're so, you know, patriotic and fiercely protective of their home country, that, you know, the multiculturalism that sort of seeps in, it's like, you know, it might take a bit longer to assimilate. Lots of big words in that 15-second period.
Yeah. Yeah. We should just play that back over and over again. Yeah. It's interesting because, well, I think with the Terry incident, he is an Englishman. He is a white Englishman, and he was saying it to a black Englishman.
Mm.
I can't say African-American again. It's really getting to me.
The African-Englishman.
I don't even think he's that. I'm pretty sure he's just English. He's just got dark skin. But it's a really touchy subject, the whole racism thing. Mm. And it's touchy, especially because, well, I guess depending, going to something completely different with music and whatnot, the use of the N-word in raps, for instance, it's very common, you know, you hear it, it's used.
Mm.
And yes, it's used between African-American to African-American. I can use it now. It's African-American to African-American. And it was slander back in the day, as we all know, and blah, blah, blah. If you don't, well, you haven't been educated. But can a white man use it to a black man in the Premier League without it being offensive? Like, what happens if he tweets it to him or something, their teammates or something? Like, would that get media limelight? Like, what happens with all of this? Is it just a word you do not use in any context?
Different strokes for different folks, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, for example, I mean, you know, people, 90% of, you know, Greeks, Italians, you know, wogs, you know, they call it wog, and it's, whatever, yeah, just a term. But then you still get some people that, oh, you're a wog, and they, you know, get their back up and
puff their chest out.
Because it was a term used to incite, you know, like a generation or two ago.
Yep. It's a touchy subject. But with other sport, especially coming back home, I guess, to the AFL.
The motherland.
The motherland. There isn't... Racism hasn't been an issue so much. To be honest, you'd expect to hear, you know, the race being more of an issue here, especially Bogans being racist to the native Aboriginals.
Just Bogans being Bogans.
Basically. Just Bogans being Bogans. Yeah. But, you know, you heard the case last year, I think it was last year, with Franklin getting racially abused.
By a fan.
Yeah, by a fan. Mm. But, you know, there's always that slander and that sledging from the fans. But on the field, you don't really hear any actual race things. You hear a lot of sledging, some bad sledging, such as the West Coast player on that Melbourne bloke. about his mum. That when we made our petted our picture. You know, sledging has its moments, whether they're good or bad sledges. But racism, not so much, I think, and that's where it goes to something like cricket, where racism is an issue as well.
Yeah, but with the AFL, it's just basically you've got Australians, so Bogans, I guess, and the Aboriginals. I mean, it's a bit closed off to say it's that simple. I mean, obviously it's not, but more or less it is.
Well, pretty much you've got that. To be honest, I have seen racism at the footy in the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that happens a lot, but
We're more focusing on player on player.
Of course, but that happens in the crowd. You know, it's a common thing in the crowd. Yeah. I don't know whether it's as common in Europe, obviously, I haven't been there and stuff. I don't know whether it's a common thing in the crowd or whether it's a player thing, but is it worse, the crowd doing it or the players? What do you think is worse?
Well, I think the crowd flows on from the players. If you go, say, a few years without anything, obviously it's, you know, be far-fetched to say there's not going to be any more racism ever, but just for, you know, hypothetical, if there's 5 years where there's no racism, well, then obviously there's going to be a lot less racism in the stands because... Yeah. You know, they don't see it, they don't hear about it, it's not in the news, it's not in their mind, so they won't do it. They'll just stick to just playing and abusing someone.
Yep.
Yeah. Which is fun.
We do with Jamie Coyne.
Yeah.
Just playing abuse.
Yeah.
No racism.
No, just right, just telling him he's no good. It's a lot more fun.
It really is.
Because you know he can't fight back.
But he has hit a sweet goal, we could just refer to that.
That's true. That's more of Adelaide than Jamie Coyne.
Yes, it really does. You know, racism is always a big issue. You know, there's all these campaigns like Kick Racism Out, you know, and all those kind of things to do with sport. But put simply, is it just a case of something we're going to have to deal with and it'll always be lingering there? Or do you see that it could be something that eventually is wiped away and we'll all be happy and peaceful and become grey people?
Yeah, we're all a big shade of grey. I don't know. I mean, ideally, you'd hope that it all lessens down over time as everyone gets more, I guess, integrated with all the. You know, you're not going to see countries with just. Yeah, it's not like Australia is 100% Australians or England is 100% English. You know what I'm saying?
Australia's nowhere near 100% Australian.
That's exactly the point. So,
yeah.
Eventually, you know, you think over time that you can get used to it. And even people that don't like it, well, you've got to live with it, so you might as well. As opposed to being living in Cronulla and trying to start rights.
It must be. It will. You look at it with the EPL, and to be honest, other than these two cases, there isn't much in terms of racism that's really come out. You know, there's always the players who come out after they're retired or, you know, maybe after the season's done where they'll say, I was racially vilified at Ewood Park or something like that.
Yeah, like 1971.
Yeah.
Like 2 minutes.
Stuff like that. And, you know, like... people, you know, the referees didn't like me because I was black, you'd get from a player or something like that, you know, that had come out. I think, you know, I think Ian Wright said stuff about his colour after he'd finished at Arsenal. And it has shifted, and I think racism has slowly died down to an extent in, shall we say, the more better countries of Europe, pretty much.
In the first world Europe countries,
yeah. In pretty much England. Other than these two cases, it's not something that's there. I think on the field, sledging maybe a little bit hush-hush, you know, in the ear kind of
and
thing.
And I guess, before we keep going, to some extent, that's always going to be hush-hush.
Yeah, it is. Well,
yeah, regardless, we might be in 2080, there's still going to be the code of amongst some people of what happens on the field.
Well, at the end of the day, if it's enough to put your player off the game... Sometimes you'd say you'd do it. You wouldn't want to have to go to that extent. But if it is a hush-hush thing, you say it in his ear, and after the game, you have your beer or whatever, and you move on. It's just the heat of the moment. Or your Gatorade, whatever he's doing. And you do say in his ear, you know, racial vilification, say stuff about how you're going to rape his daughter. Like,
not that we're condoning it. We're saying some people would do it.
It would still happen. It's a strategy that players would use. It's... I'm sure something that Zidane copped at the World Cup. players are always going to get that because of their different backgrounds and whatnot. But I think the thing that made this Suarez case such a big deal, not just now that he's been given the deal, not just whatever, how shady a character he is. See what I did there?
Really?
It's also the fact that Liverpool's appeal was dreadful. It was bad. They pretty much used the fact that Suarez's grandpa was black.
So my grandpa twice removed, once talked to a black man in 1841 when they went on there too. So Suarez clearly isn't racist.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they said in their statement to try to get the ban reversed. And I think that's what's added to this
funniness.
It is a bit of a laugh. Like, yes, I think if it was anyone but Evra, I'd feel worse. But Evra seems like someone who would say it to another black man. It wouldn't surprise me if he just started going to Balotelli. He probably was the one who started it with Balotelli, let's be honest.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Why always him?
Always him. It's interesting, though. Like, yeah, what happens, just say, if it's the other way, reverse racism?
Well, Evra goes to him and he's
I don't know, Vidic go. Evra goes to Vidic and, well, you assume they're on different teams.
Yeah.
And everyone starts abusing Vidic. Vidic say, I'm being racially abused. Like, what would happen then? Would everyone just go, huh?
What does he call it? A wigger? Like, I can say that word. Well, I am one. But, like, legit, what is considered racism? That's another thing.
Go the other way around.
Well, the N-word is bad. A white man says the N-word, it's bad.
Mm.
But what happens if Evra goes up to Apostolos Velios and says, you're a dirty wog?
Yeah, exactly.
Or he walks up to Balotelli and says, you're not a real Italian.
Well, he'd be right.
He would be partially right. He's got, you know, an Italian citizenship, which makes him as Italian as you can be. And pasta. Pasta. But, you know, what happens if he goes up to... What happens if he does grow up to a Croatian player and says he's a Croat, and he goes up to a German and says stuff about the Nazis, and goes up to the Jews and says stuff about... There's a lot to say about the Jews, let's be honest. He goes up to Ben-Ayoun. He goes up to Ben-Ayoun and he says naughty things to Ben-Ayoun.
What happens if he calls a Jew cheap?
Like, what is the point where racism is bad? Is Suarez using the N-bomb the worst of it, and then anything else isn't bad because white to black is bad because white...
Is the majority?
Yes.
And what happens if Asian people go up to other people and go, round-eyed pricks, like, is that really...
Yeah, well, what if Park Ji-sung finally gets off the bench for United and he comes on and he says to someone that his people are better because they can see stuff in widescreen?
Yeah, going dangerously close to stand-up comedy routine.
The subtle racism in this episode is incredibly awesome. I'm loving it.
Well, yeah, we can tell you the stand-up comedy, I think, for later. But, you know, close to the end of the year, this is all on-the-spot stuff. So, yeah, it's about time for when you pick your favourite moments.
Yes, we do our lists.
Yeah, your favourite lists, favourite this, you know, the top fives of your top fives of the top fives.
Yes, and I think I'm just going to go with the top five because I've decided what they are. Favourite match of the year, any code. Okay. Favourite player or athlete or whatever you want to call them of the year. We'll go personal favourite moment. So, it might be your team winning a flag, which hasn't happened for any of us. And then we need another two.
Okay.
Favourite goal, maybe, or something like that. We'll figure it out as we go along.
So, what's the first one? I forgot already.
We'll go favourite match.
Favourite match at the top. Well, I guess favourite match is... Well, we can double up, because favourite match goes to favourite moment as well.
Yes.
Stay the grand final.
Well, I'd say my match and my moment are different, but yes, definitely...
For me, that doubles up. I mean,
that comeback.
The Partsley goal, which is part of Australian sporting history now.
It's potentially the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, and then the penalty shoot. All the storylines inside the match, like McBreen sledging Theokotos, and then Theokotos saves the penalty, then tells him where to go.
Was that racism?
Just abusing a player with no skills.
Well, Theokotos is wog. He probably said some stuff about his nose.
I was in Oakley last one. I saw an apple close just the last one lifetime.
It's definitely one of the best matches of the year, regardless of any code or sport or anything. Yeah, and I think it did get quite a bit of publicity overseas.
Yeah, as well.
Yes, it did. And I think it's pushed now. I think we get quite a few English viewers. It's a surprise. I heard it a while ago, how many from Europe watch it, and I was actually quite pleased.
It's because it's really the league is a poor man, you know, with the physicality and but that sort of aspect to it.
Yeah. Except we had more whites.
So what was, well, you said your match was there.
My match would be that early
moment time. Then?
My favourite moment, probably Arsenal-Barcelona. That 2-1 win, not the loss.
Not the Van Persie sending off, huh?
Well, that would probably be my controversial moment of the year. But yes, that was a bullshit moment. that moment, going down against the best team in the world, Cesc handing them a goal, Cesc playing for Barcelona that match as captain, and then little 19-year-old Wilshere runs the midfield against arguably the two best midfielders in the world for the last 3 years in Xavi and Iniesta. He was better than them by a mile. Yeah. And I'm not just saying that as an Arsenal fan. He was that much better than them. And to come back from we were a goddamn win. Yeah, we were. And Van Persie just smashed it and made Valdez look like the goalkeeper that he is. A shit one. He is a monkey. He looks like one.
That's harsh.
It is harsh. He dives like one. Like all of them.
Is that even, I have no idea where you are. I haven't seen...
He's just not a good looking bloke.
Yeah, cool.
Anyway, and then Arshavin just smashes in that winner. Arshavin was just being dropped.
What about? Isn't Valdez a. What background is he?
He's Spanish.
Okay, so.
What do you think he was?
I haven't watched Barcelona in Asian. Like, if he's black and you're calling him monkey, that's.
No, he's not. He's not, that's he's, though, right? He's not black. He's not black. He's white. He's just.
I don't watch Barcelona.
I don't watch him either. Yeah. And then Arshavin hit that goal in. He hasn't done anything since.
But yes. This is
that finish, the crowd reaction, the tears that were wept. It was just a good moment in sport.
Yeah,
seeing Barca lose.
Well, then, what's your favorite? Was it athlete? Did you say?
Or yeah, favorite athlete of the year.
What's that? Mind you, the reason I asked you is so years in my head.
Well, mine is RVP, the whole effing show.
That'd be so goofy. Just
yeah, exactly that. That's music. Yeah, me and Nathan have been chanting that when we've been playing FIFA. Robin van Persie, just what a year! What a footballer! Arsenal have had potentially one of the worst years in their club's history, other than the last 2 months, I'd say. And
yeah, what a shocker! You know, a million other clubs would get killed to have their worst year in history.
Well,
keep going. Anyway.
Come on, bro, it's pretty bad. Scored, I think it's 1,001 goals in 3 appearances, and it's just.
It's actually in the website 101 great goals, whatever it is. They actually named it after Van Persie's 2011 because he scored 101 goals.
It's so true. I like that one. But yeah, he's definitely my athlete of the year. Just his performances and the fact that he was ignored for player of the year. I'm not saying that he deserves player of the year. But at least be in the short list of 50 players or whatever. I'm going to say he's definitely within top 10, let alone top 50 top players in the world at the moment.
This is true.
Anyway, who's your...
Oh, I just have no idea. So I'm going to go with our Lord and Saviour, Tim Tebow.
Tim Tebow. Oh, yes. Yes. I heard Jesus posted a tweet the other day, and he pretty much just summed up how everyone feels. He just said, I think my dad likes Tebow more than me.
But, I mean, obviously, I don't actually, before anyone gets carried away, I don't actually think Tebow is the athlete of the year. It's amazing in some respect the media attention he's captured worldwide. I mean, Tebow was trending in Australia on Monday when they were playing the Pats.
Yes.
In Australia on a Monday morning when there was a million other things to do apart from watching an NFL game that started at, I don't know, whatever time it was in the morning, like 8 in the morning.
Yeah. And Tebow was
training in Australia. I mean, and that's not even mentioning the coverage he's got in America, where this complete firestorm and Tebow this, Tebow that, you know, students doing the Tebow, which is kneeling down and praying for those who don't know. It's amazing how, for a quarterback that started, what is it, 8 games, 9 games?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's 8 and 6-2 now under him.
Yeah, 6-2. It's not like that, yeah.
Yeah.
And for someone to get that much attention in such a short time, and the games they've played, which I mean, obviously we're just casual NFL fans, but I find it hilarious watching the last few minutes of Denver games, apart from this last week where
they lost.
All the other games, teams just, it's like, oh yeah, we'll roll over for Tebow.
Yeah, it's pretty much just in awe of Tebow's goodness.
It's amazing everything that's happened. I mean, I'm not going to go conventional, but in terms of all the media attention he's gathered, Tebow's been fun to follow.
Defoe's getting the Tebow bandwagon.
I don't like him or dislike him or I'm just like, whatever.
You don't have an opinion. You're just a neutral.
It's just funny watching everything else surrounding him. It's
so funny. And the way people get carried away, you either love him or you hate him. And the haters, the way they get on the bandwagon, they go hard. And then the praises, they love him. And then they go, they entice the haters. Like, where are you now when he wins? Where are you? Stand on your feet. And then he loses the game and they go on about, hey, Roger. And it's just funny. It's funny. It's hilarious. It's
enjoyable.
It's
very enjoyable. So
what were the other?
You didn't think of the other two, did we? What have you got for the other two? You got anything yet?
I don't know if I've got any. Maybe.
Sport, however, the sport that's been the most fun to follow out of the ones you do this year. There you go. You weren't expecting that, were you?
So no, I know you're going to go NHL. So
we've got AFL, A-League. Well, which one do you... You follow AFL, A-League, EPL...
Very casual basketball, and that's about it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone would say basketball after the lockout.
Yeah. Well, the AFL was boring.
Yeah, it was pretty messy.
Yeah, it was a mess season. If only Carlton got over the line. The A-League, well, my team did poo. And it was good to get on the Brisbane bandwagon, but it was a Brisbane bandwagon. Mm. And the Apple was okay. It was just another season where Man U win.
Yeah, that was this. Yeah.
That just kind of happened. Like, no one remembers who won that. Like, it was kind of like Chelsea won it last season.
Mm-hmm.
Well, two seasons ago now. And then you look at last season, you're like, I don't know. I think it was everything that happened away from first that was awesome. And then first was just kind of there.
Yeah.
So maybe everything but United winning the title in the EPL was. That was good to follow. How about you? NHL, sure.
Yeah, hockey. I mean, if it had a lockout and the season started on time, we would have said basketball.
Yeah.
Just because of the way that last season finished.
Yeah. The way this year was going to go.
Before they're playing 66 games in 47 days. But yeah, we've really gotten to hockey. That helps when you have, like, by all reports, a crazy general manager and crazy swinging trades and trading away two of your best players. And everything like that. But the whole hockey culture's fascinating.
Growing on you.
Yeah, and how they all seem to be more open. The players is more open and more accessible and just more normal.
And crazy bearded.
Yeah, and they got a playoff beard, so I mean...
That's the greatest thing ever. Yeah. Like, that should become law in sport.
Every single sport. So then you could not shave ever, because I'm sure at some point in the year, amongst the world, there's always a playoff series happening, right? There's got to be. Yes. Even if it's like the fourth division of Congo American football.
Yeah, you know, and I think it should be a rule.
Or it's like the World Donkey Kong Championships on the Nintendo 64.
Well, those are things I tune in every year, February. Yeah. February, get on it. we'll try to broadcast what happens then, if we're still going by then. All right, well, we need the last topic.
We need the last one.
Maybe we go for something more controversial. Maybe a controversial moment or a BS moment. Or
just a bad moment in sport then.
A bad moment in sport.
And take it however you want to.
Yes.
Okay, what do you got?
I knew you'd go with me. I was having a go. There we go. You always put me on the spot. What's her name? That bird, St Kilda schoolgirl.
Oh, yeah,
that whole scenario, that was just, that was good fun. I saw it as funny. It was bad for the game here, but it was.
I don't know if it was bad. I mean, I think it quickly crossed the line from, oh, wow, look at what they've done with the girl. These players are really stupid. So can you please get her off my TV? Why is everyone paying attention?
Yeah, I think she shot herself in the foot, so. St Kilda definitely could have suffered more if she shut herself up a bit more, to be honest. Yeah. It would have looked bad on the players because it would have been more of a case of, look what they did to this poor girl, all this cash under the table, oh my God, you know, this and that, and she'd seem more innocent. Instead, she tried to use the limelight negatively, and now everyone knows she's a downy, drug-addicted whore.
Yeah, that's fair way to sum it
up. Yeah.
No, so, I think it's all true, so it's not really slander.
Yeah, it's true. It's a slander. She can't sue me. You don't know me. You don't know me.
Whatever. I do what I want. I don't mean that. I guess that was, I think it reflected more on the mainstream media's style.
To be honest, it was the first thing that came to my head. Yeah. It was a whore. And hoes are always on my mind. These bitches be driving me wild.
AFL season was meh. Apart from, that's probably the news story of the season, really, if you think about it.
Well, this Kim Dudley thing. It really was.
Yeah.
Like,
which is odd, considering.
No one cares about anything happening.
Like, the start of the year.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, January. Just
kept going.
Yeah, remember coming home from the Australian Open, and we talked about that. And, you know, it's like the middle of January. So, it's odd that nothing else happened in the next 8-odd months.
Nothing did happen. The AFL season just kind of happened, but nothing happened. Are you sure that wasn't the one with the lockout? Like, more's happened in the NBA in 2 weeks than what happened in the whole AFL season.
Yeah, you look back in the history books a few years, like, AFL 2011, lockdown. What are you going to say? There's no premiership, there's no games played in this back, just lockdown.
So where's your controversial moment?
The lockout.
The lockout. You really think it's a lockout? That's a cheap way out.
No,
that's cheap. No,
because think about it, they came off one of their best playoff series ever. And then ratings were up, you know, the revenue was up. Basically everything was up, approaching record levels. And then they spent 6 months negotiating for a deal that and they got to the end of it and everyone's like, yeah, you could have had that 6 months ago and we could have had a season by now.
So, yeah, everyone just looked red-faced. Yeah. It's still a cop-out.
No.
It's a cop-out.
No.
Come on, it's what everyone wants to say, but no one says it because they know it's there. It's like an elephant in the room or, you know.
The elephant everyone points at or?
I don't know. Every shading. People want to comment on it, but you don't because, you know, you're going to get that game there.
there was
a good one I heard today. There was a good one in terms of Evra. It was how could you not believe Evra's opinion and whatnot? He's been a great servant for Manchester United in all these years.
Ouch.
I thought it was great. I thought that one was really clever.
I'm talking about, yeah, it's good because people use the word servant so much.
Exactly,
it has such negative connotations, and then everyone uses it in relation to
in a good way. It's in sport, like they've been there for a long time. Like Roy Keane was a loyal servant to Fergie until he started slandering him off the field, which I think is awesome.
Seems so, yeah.
Yeah.
So lower class.
It does. And then you say servant about a man who's dark-skinned, and then it becomes a whole racial thing.
Exactly. It's odd, yeah. They're making, you know, millions upon millions of dollars per week.
And they're still
two their races. Servants.
And they're servants. I just putting it out there. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're going to be racist to someone, why bother being racist? Just drop the racist term and just put in the C-bomb. So rather than being like, you're a dirty N-word, which is probably what he went with, you're a dirty C-bomb. It's as effective, if not more effective, and you don't get an 8-game ban for it.
This is true.
So I think that's my advice for the year. In review.
Your all-worldly advice is going to change the
My worldly advice. If you're an EPL player and you listen to this, not only retweet this and don't let your wife find your bachelor pad like Klasnich, was it? Did you hear about that?
No, I did not hear about that.
Oh. I'll have to tell you about that. Okay. Yeah, don't let your wife find your bachelor pad, all right? And if she does, make sure to spray this thing down before you leave. You don't want the prune smell hanging around. Anyway, make sure when you're dropping, you know, the dirty bombs of racism, whisper it in their ear so the cameras don't catch you, or use the C-bomb instead. Okay.
What could possibly go wrong? Oh, anyway, as you notice, the title of this podcast is, you know, the end for now, which going on a, I guess, indefinite hiatus would be the best way to describe it.
Yeah, it's a sad moment in the world.
No, I mean, a couple of days ago, two days ago from when we were taping this, you could listen to this in a year's time, and in which case it's a year and 2 days ago.
Exactly a year and 2 days. They will listen to this.
Yeah.
Maybe we should just give it the date. The 19th of the 12th, 2011.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not today's date, by the way. That's 2 days ago. Anyway.
Yeah, on that date then, I got a job at North Melbourne Football Club as the digital content coordinator, I'm sure. People know this by now, it seems to have, yeah, the news is spread quicker than I could tell people. But yeah, that's a full-time job, so I start that soon, and I have no idea how much time.
Before you guys email us, bombard us, it is volunteer work. He will not be paid by the club. It is full-time volunteer work. He will pick up all people's teeth that drop out when they are screaming at players at the ground.
Also, I'm also the janitor.
He's also the janitor, yes.
Yeah, that's also me, but I was serious, it's a full-time job, so I have no idea how much time I will have to do this, and you've got your own work as well.
And Pokemon.
And yeah, and also uni, so lots of commitments, so
we'll see.
Basically for the time being, you know, it's been put on hold, and then We'll come back to it. We most likely will come back to it. You know, maybe we'll do one episode every couple of weeks. Maybe once a fortnight.
Worst comes to worst, I change the name and I call it the James. Just the James Sportscast or something.
Just the James.
Just the James. And you can catch that and I'll just ramble. Sit there and ramble and cross lines of racism and whatnot. Just dribble across lines and try to get interviews with players. But it's not going to happen because obviously it's not going to happen. So I'll just pretend I'm them and then get sued for defamation and whatnot.
It's made really bad
impression. I could do Mick Benton easily. Mm. As well, scratches cars!
Mick Benton has great mates with Trent from Punchy.
Well, he scratches cars down in Newcastle, yeah. If you haven't heard.
True.
This is a sad moment. This could potentially be the end.
I doubt that. So it also means the site is going on hiatus as well.
Yeah. The site's kind of there. We'll try to keep you updated. But follow us on Twitter. Honestly, that's where the latest news is going to come from.
Yeah, so everything else on my A-League previews or other writing basically going on hiatus indefinitely.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure in a couple of months when I get fired from North Melbourne, I have all the time in the world to write whatever I want.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll try and overthrow the coach. That's not going to go well.
He's going to have the inside knowledge. If you do get some inside knowledge, we could get some interviews with some North Melbourne players. No one cares for North Melbourne as a club, but they do have friends and brothers that we could get for clubs that people actually like.
I'm waiting for the first time that's my FIFA against someone. I'll try and he's like, yeah, you play FIFA tonight. Oh, really? Do you want an extra person? No, okay, I'll just go in there.
Do they play FIFA, the footy players?
I'm sure they do. I've seen them tweet about it a few times.
Well, if they do, you definitely invited me over to one of the football players' mates in the house. Yeah, Mum, just going out, just going to hang with McIntosh. Macca seems to be the only player we bring up because he's the only player at North that's worth noting.
But you know.
I know a couple more. There's Zeeble. And there's Wells.
Mm-hmm.
And there's Lindsay Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a few more that I could name.
Although he never get a shot on target if he played FIFA.
I see what you did there. Oh, I feel like we should just... I really like the racism of this episode, I'm not going to lie. I like the subtlety of it. It's very nice.
Well, that was hardly racist. That was just a shot at him not being
able to... No. That was not a shot at him. No.
It wasn't a racist shot.
It wasn't a racist shot. He's just a mediocre player.
If he took a shot at me, he'd miss anyway.
Oh, he's on fire.
When you confront me on my first day, Lindsay, I didn't mean any of this. Seriously.
Because Lindsay Thomas is going to listen to this.
Absolutely. They're going to find out that they're going to do all their recon work on me, and they're going to know more about me than I do when they go in there.
That's going to be awesome. There's not really much to know about you, is there?
No, there's not.
No.
No, I just play lots of PlayStation.
Yeah, and you do this, and you write a couple of stuff. If they know your date of birth, they know that you write this, they know your mum's name is Barbara something.
Mm-hmm.
They pretty much know everything about you.
Yeah, she's distant relative of Barbara Roussis, who's currently playing in straight in the 12th division of Russian football.
Second division. Aiden's playing against him at the moment.
True. But, so our Twitter's, you all know our Twitter's Rickham18, J Bolts.
We're going to spell them out.
Okay. RICKM1A.
Do you just want to slow it down?
No.
Okay. And JBALTSZ.
Yeah.
Yeah. So follow me.
No. Yeah, that's cool.
I'm more interesting. I've got 10,000 tweets, so I tweet very often. About crowd. And occasionally sport.
Yeah. And I have double the followers you do with a third of tweets.
Yeah. But let's be honest. You've got that whole writer's background where people believe you know stuff about stuff.
Which is clearly wrong.
It is clearly wrong.
It's clearly wrong.
Obviously, saying stuff about Suarez and Suarezness is much more interesting to follow. And also threatening to hang myself if we sign Wayne Bridge. Which is a fact. I will hold to that.
You know what the best thing is? Going back to our conversation a few weeks ago about the use of weed, I can use weed now.
You can use weed.
For North Melbourne.
Yes, I've been reading Theo Walcott's book,
mm.
and he's been using weed when he refers to Arsenal. I find it slightly off-putting because I'm reading a book and I know it's his autobiography and I know it's pretty much his thoughts written on a page.
Mm.
I find it off-putting because I feel like you should be saying Arsenal. or then the players, you know, went and did a thing instead of them. We, I don't know, I just find it weird.
I can agree. Maybe when I write a book in 10 years about how I overthrew James Brayshaw, Eugene Rocker, and Brad Scott to become the Lord and Savior of the North Melbourne Football Club, I can write a book about it.
And you change your name to Tim Tebow.
Yeah, Tim. No, Tim Tebow the second. You can't replace Tim Tebow.
You can't. Yeah. How about Rick Tim Tebow or something like that?
Rick Tebow.
Rick Tebow. Yeah, just go for that. Rick Tebow. Rick Tebow. You'll be the first ever white Tebow.
What? Have you not seen this?
No, because he's just so awesome. He has to not be white.
Oh, he's his own race.
His own race. He's the great people we're talking about earlier in this show. Okay. He's not what we're going to become.
He's immune to racism, Joe. Doesn't matter. They all just fall off.
They just go off him. He's just like most players do when he goes to run over the line for a touchdown. He is awesome.
Well, I think on that note, we'll finish it up for now and... Not forever, but for now.
For now.
Until next time, which is whenever, I guess.
Yeah, catch.